Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., your loyal host, opening up our program as we normally do with our theme song, No One Else, by Gregory Stafford. You know, it's Thursday, so that means, as we normally do, one of our features will be looking into the future. And as we look into the future, I'm going to have us continue to, well, just kind of explore the possibilities, the political and social and economic, etc., possibilities. As we continue to look at our younger generations, particularly the millennials and Generation Z, and, of course, Generation Z, again, being the part of our population who are currently 13 to 21 years of age. Now, as I've said before, being that young, especially the people at the lower end of that scale who are 13 years old, 14 years old, we know that some of their views, their approaches to life, etc., can change between now and the time that they are the decision makers, because that's what we're really focusing on right now. How, you know, what direction they might take the nation in, the country in, when they are the decision makers. They are the politicians. They are the business leaders. They're the religious leaders, etc. And, of course, to the extent that, you know, they may be some of the leaders in Congress, maybe even in the White House. Because we don't know. Who knows? We may go from someone in the White House who is one or two generations older than them, and the next presidential election, it might be someone still one or two generations older than them. We don't know. But there's a good chance that they will be some of our political leaders in the future to come. Where do you suppose they'll take us? We're taking a look at some of the views that Pew Research has found that they're currently holding that may give us some idea of where they might take us in the future when they are the leaders. One of the things that we discussed last week when we were looking into the future with our young generations is that the younger generations are more likely than older generations to say that black people in America are treated less fairly than white people in America. They're much more likely than their elders to approve of NFL, and listen now, much more likely than their elders to approve of NFL players kneeling during the national anthem as a sign of protest. That suggests that they have a greater sensitivity to matters of social justice and racial justice, which makes sense when you see that they're more likely than the older generation to say that blacks are treated less fairly than whites in the United States today. Does that matter? Sure it does. Now, we didn't delve into this the last time we had this discussion, but we did allude to it. The fact that the younger generations are also more accepting of some of the ways in which American society is changing. The majorities among Generation Z and the millennial generation say that increasing racial and ethnic diversity in the U.S. is a good thing for society, while older generations are less convinced of this. We did delve into that. And so I'm not going to delve into that part again. I do want to ask, though, briefly this question. For the older generations who say that it is not a good thing for American society that there is increasing racial and ethnic diversity in the United States of America, why do you say that? What do you base your conclusion on? Those of you who have concluded that it is not good for American society, that we are experiencing increasing racial diversity and increasing ethnic diversity in the U.S. What do you base that conclusion on? Okay. Now, again, I delved into it the last time we talked, so I won't delve into that this time. But I did want to pose that question, because last time I really focused on middle of the road, looking at some of the benefits to American society, actually looking at the benefits to society if people of color are treated fairly. Everything being on the same level playing field as white people experience. And the good that should come out of that. Like I said, I spent quite a bit of time on it last week. This week, to that matter, I just want to pose the question to those who have decided that it is not good for American society to have increasing racial and ethnic diversity. Why do you say that? Now, this we only touched on, didn't get a chance to really get to this. The younger generations are more likely to have a positive view of interracial marriage than their older counterparts. Any of you have a girlfriend or boyfriend of a different race or different ethnicity at any point in your lives, whether it was while you were in elementary school, a time when many people's minds are more accepting of humanity? Isn't it interesting that as we grow older, as humans grow older, many humans, not all, many humans also grow more hateful and malicious and hostile. You think about it. Despite how some people may view it, the truth is you have five children born in the same day. One is black. One is Hispanic, one is white, one is Asian, one is from the Middle East, another is a Native American. The truth is, each of those children has equal value. They really do. Just based on the fact that they are humans. All five of them are human. Each of them is precious, equally precious. Now, I understand. Some people will look at them, and as they determine what ethnicity each child is, each baby is, each newborn baby is, just 3 days old, it really depends on the heart of the person looking at those babies that will determine how they view the babies, whether they view them equally precious, equally valuable. Each individual's own conclusion about the value and the preciousness of those five babies will depend on what's in their hearts. But when you pull their hearts out of it and just look at the facts, each of those five babies is equally valuable. Each of those five newborns is equally precious. Certainly, each is precious to their parents, hopefully, and certainly each is precious and of great value to the Creator. The Creator looks at all five of those newborn babies and considers all five of them valuable and precious. 2 years later, all five of those children are still valuable and precious. 5 years after their birth, all five of those children are still valuable and precious. And although even young children can be mean You all know it. Some 5-year-olds out there on the playground, and they might want to say some mean things about one of their little playmates out there and try to get other playmates to join them in being ugly too. The reality is, it does not take humans long to become malicious and hostile. But for the most part, those children are looking at children as just fellow children. And they're not deciding on their own that they're going to make a value judgment based on the color of the skin of the rest of their classmates. They basically have to be taught and trained to make those value judgments based on color of skin. For the most part, children who are 5 and 6 years old are just going to make their value judgments on the fact that, well, hey, so-and-so seems to be easy to play with. So-and-so does ask some questions while we're in the classroom. You know, their value judgments aren't generally centered on their desire to be malicious and hostile. As people get older, isn't it interesting that as we grow older and therefore more skilled at using our brains, so many people begin to become hateful and malicious and hostile. Wouldn't it seem like as we get older, we would also become more mature? And as we become more mature, we would be even more embracing of all of humanity than when we were 5 years old. Doesn't it seem that when we're 25, we would be more skilled at embracing humanity than we were when we were 8 years old? But for so many people, when they get to the point where they're able to consciously decide what they think about these various colors of humanity, so many are subjected to the hatred, the hostility, the malice of others who train them to be closed-minded, closed-hearted, hard-hearted, and teach them to become hateful, to become malicious, to become hostile. And here's the reality. We know this. It's not just when humans are very, very young, 8 years old, 10 years old, that people try to indoctrinate them, proselytize them into the world of hatred and malice. Grown folks are continually looking for people to recruit, to proselytize, to make some of their mentees who learn how to hate the other group because of their color, hate the other group because of their social class. And depending on how strong or how weak the person is who is on the receiving end of all of that pollution that people are trying so diligently to pour into their spirits, into their minds, and have their brains latch onto, they'll either reject the madness or embrace it. What a terrible disservice to do to one's fellow human, and especially the one who is saying, hey, look, let's be friends, let's be tight, let's be close. And they want them to be close, partly for the purpose of contaminating their hearts. And it's not just about race either. I'm just focusing on that right now because we're talking about this whole issue of younger people having positive views of interracial marriage. It would sure be great if these younger people would not be contaminated, polluted by the time they're 32, by the people who are so opposed to the ethnicities blending. Let's talk about this some more in just a few.